for shining. We considered Samson. He didn't know that the Lord had left him. And tonight we want to consider another man who did not know. Hosea chapter 7, please. Hosea chapter 7. Verses 8 and 9. Hosea 7, verses 8 and 9. We'll wait for everyone to find. We don't often turn to Hosea, do we? Well, it's right after Daniel, and we're familiar with Daniel. Hosea chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. Ephraim has mixed himself among the people. He is a cake not turned. We could consider that, but we won't consider it. A cake not turned. Our sisters can tell us about that. You bake a cake, cooked on the bottom and uncooked on the top. Not very pleasant to eat. But we'll go a little further. Strangers have devoured his strength. He knoweth it not. And what we want to consider tonight. Gray hairs are here and there upon him, and he doesn't know it. He had gray hair and he didn't know it. The question is, what is the significance of gray hair? Many people don't like their hair to turn gray. And they dye their hair. But what is the spiritual significance of gray hair? Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Verse 32. Leviticus 19, verse 32. The significance of gray hair. Thou shalt rise up before the gray-headed. Honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. Gray hair demands, according to the scripture, respect. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Verse 31. Proverbs 16 and 31. The hoary head, the gray hair, is a crown of glory. Nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing even to die. It speaks of glory. The gray-haired requires respect. Speaks of glory. Chapter 20, please. And verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength. The beauty of old men is the gray hair. So that gray hairs, according to the scripture, are nothing to be ashamed of. Now the problem with Ephraim is that he had gray hair and he didn't know it. And that is what is our concern tonight. He was not aware of the fact that he had gray hair. Many years ago, when I was a student, third-year student, I was called on a Friday evening to see a patient in the hospital. And I went there and I saw this young man, 19 years old, 6 feet three, well-developed. And I talked to him, and I examined him. And then Dr. Lane, the chief surgeon, said, "Garnes, what do you think of him?" I said, "I think he has appendicitis." He said, "You're right. We are going to operate right away." I said, "Dr. Lane, why are you operating right away? He's comfortable. He's at ease. He's not complaining." And I should never forget Dr. Lane's statement. He is in the period of dangerous quiet. Dangerous quiet. He felt all right. He looked all right. He didn't say anything. But he was in the period of dangerous quiet. Dr. Lane operated that night, and I was amazed at what I saw. A gangrenous appendix and an abdomen full of toxic fluid. He removed the appendix, removed the fluid, sewed the young man, sent him back to the ward. I went to bed, got up early the next morning, went to the ward, and where he should have been, the bed was empty. I said to the nurse, "What happened?" She said, "He died during the night. He was in the period of dangerous quiet." Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Well-known story. The period of dangerous quiet. Ephraim had gray hairs, but he didn't know it. He was not aware of his own state and condition. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. "The Lord said unto me, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Verse 6. "It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. It grieved him to his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. It repenteth me that I have made them." Verse 13. "God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me. The earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in it, in the ark. Pitch it within and without with pitch." Verse 19. "And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with them, that they shall be male and female." Verse 22. "Thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord had commanded him." Chapter 7, verse 1. "The Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have seen righteous before me. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female. Of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of the fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet," please note, "7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth. I'm going to destroy all from the face of the earth." Verse 5. "Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him." Verse 10. "It came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth." Verse 16. "And they went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded, and the Lord shut the door." Now, beloved, let's get the picture. There's an ark. The Lord told Noah to build it. take his family in, two of every animal. God shut the door. So Noah couldn't open it, and nobody could open it from the outside. God shut the door. The question is, when did the flood begin? Did the flood start right away after God shut the door? We read it here in verses 4 and 10. For 7 days, everything seemed as usual. But those 7 days were the period of dangerous quiet. Anybody outside of that ark was sure to die. The period of dangerous quiet. A story is told of a little boy. Well, he wasn't so little, young fellow. He was fishing. And he was doing quite well. Now, two couples were in that area. He was fishing on a lake. And they went fishing early that morning. And like Peter and his followers, they caught nothing. And they saw this little boy and all the fish that he had gotten. They went over to him, "Son, how'd you get all those fish?" "Oh," he said, "it's the bait. There's some worms that I use, and I tell you, the fish like them. They just grab them, and I get the fish. Those are good worms." They said, "Son, where are these worms?" "Over there by the tree." And one of the ladies went over and looked, came back, said, "Son, those aren't worms. Those are snakes. Those are poisonous snakes. Did you get any bites from those snakes?" And he looked at his hand and said, "Yes, I got quite a few bites from those snakes." And his hands were swollen. She said, "You better come to your mother with me. You've been poisoned by the snakes." And all this time he was happy. All this time he was feeling good. A good catch, but he was in the period of dangerous quiet. Happily, they were able to take him to the health department, and they were able to so treat him that the snake venom didn't kill him. He was in the period of dangerous quiet. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Verse 1. Now Jericho was securely shut up. Because of the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. The Lord said unto Joshua, "See, I have given into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men thereof. You shall surround the city with men of war, and surround the city once. Thus you shall do for 6 days." Every day for 6 days, they were to walk around the city. Verse 5, "It came to pass that when they made a long blast with the ram's horns, when ye shall hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall flat." Let's see, for the sake of time. Verse 10. Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I tell you to shout." Pardon me. Verse 14, The second day, they surrounded the city and returned into camp. So they did 6 days. It came to pass on the seventh day that they rose up early in the morning and surrounded the city after the same manner seven times. It came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew with the trumpet, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. It came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, the wall of the city fell. Here again we have a period of 7 days. They walked around the city once a day for 6 days, seven times. You know, the people inside of the city must have said, what's the matter with those foolish people? They'll never get in here just walking around. But they in the city were the people who were in danger. They were the people who were in the period of dangerous quiet. For 6 days, 7 days, everything seemed fine. And finally, when they went around seven times and shouted, the walls fell. The period of dangerous quiet. Again, another story. I like stories that illustrate things. A bird, an eagle, up in Canada, saw a deer in a river, struggling to save himself. The poor deer couldn't make it. The eagle pounced down on him with his claws in the flesh of that deer. And the eagle began to eat. Oh, that was a delicious meal. Going down the river. And after a while, the eagle noticed, he heard a sound. And he looked in the direction and he saw that the river went over the Niagara Falls. And he screamed and he yelled and he pulled and he flapped his wings, but he couldn't get loose. His claws were frozen to that deer. While he was eating and enjoying himself, he was in the period of dangerous quiet. And finally went over the falls to his death. Second Peter, please. Chapter 3. Verse 1. I dare say that in the time of the flood, those people were at ease. They thought everything, things were going on as usual. The same way with those walls, the people would look from the walls. I don't know why those folks are walking around the wall. Things in here are quite nice. But they were both in the period of dangerous quiet. And we have the same thing today. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved. I like that term, beloved. It isn't our subject tonight, but we could spend some time on that. How Peter addressed these beloved. I dare say we love each other. We like to be here. Beloved. But please study that when you go home. We must continue. I now write unto you in both, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this, and this describes the world today, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Verse 4, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Aren't they saying that today? Everything goes on the same. He hasn't come. You're like the people that were in that wall. You're like the people in the days of the flood. Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. That's evolution. Everything is going on the same way. But this they are deliberately ignorant of. Brother George and I were talking as we came in. The trouble today is that men don't want what God has to say. They are deliberately ignorant. Not because they're stupid. They just don't want what God has to say. This they willingly or deliberately are ignorant of by the Word of God. Oh, that's it, the Word of God. What we are holding in our hands, the Word of God. The heavens were of old. They talk about evolution. One day I'd like to talk about evolution. They talk about this big flame of fire. But they don't tell you where it came from. And then you know, as we were speaking to Brother George up to yesterday, in reasoning, the fewer propositions that you have to start with, the better off you are. Now, when they tell you a big ball of fire was there, and the fire cooled off, that means that not only was there fire, there was a cool environment around. So you start with two things, not one. How does the Bible start? In the beginning, God, one. Which is the better idea? Which is the more sound idea? The book. Oh, beloved, let's cherish this book. Study it, read it, and live it. The Word of God. This they are willingly ignorant of, that by the Word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water. We just read of that. People who were in danger and didn't realize. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. Where is the promise of his coming? 2,000 years now and he hasn't come. Well, that's not a long time with the Lord. This is about a day and a half. Not even 2 days yet. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, long-suffering, not wishing that any should perish. But when you turn the page, you read that judgment is coming. People don't believe that either. Our brother referred to the coming of the Lord last Sunday. A few Sundays before that, Brother Craig referred to the coming of the Lord in two aspects. The Lord is coming for us, and then he's in the air. Then he's coming to the earth with us. And both of our brethren mentioned the great white throne judgment. Oh, people don't believe that. But they are in the period of dangerous quiet. The Lord is coming back. And those that are not taken by him to heaven, they're going to face the great white throne judgment. the period of dangerous quiet. And the thing that troubles me is I have some relatives who are in this period of dangerous quiet. Everything is fine, I'm doing well, I'm prosperous, I'm succeeding. No God. No thought of going to heaven. No thought that there truly is a hell. But the Lord is coming. Where is the promise of His coming? The Lord is coming. Remember what we read in John 14? I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'm going to come back. Let us be encouraged by the fact that the Lord is coming. The world doesn't believe it. The world calls it nonsense. Do you know that the world thinks we're a bunch of fools? And they call us that. But we go by the word of God. Let's check a little bit on this matter of the coming of the Lord that the world despises. John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, Peter, if I will that he tarry till I come. The Lord is coming back. And I find that to be a great encouragement. Because the direction that the world has taken is very sad. At 9 o'clock, and many of you may want to go to hear the two candidates. I've listened to them. I've listened to the vice presidential candidates. And I'll tell you the truth, I find them very annoying. Lord, come please, get us away from this business. Acts chapter 1. Verse 9. When he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him, the Lord Jesus, out of their sight, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, and said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you, is going to come again. To me, you'll have to pardon me, but I find that a great comfort. He is coming again. And so many are being deceived, as we read in Peter. It's been a long time and everything remains the same. They're in the period of dangerous quiet. The Lord's coming again. We know 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 16. The Lord Himself. Oh, isn't that nice? He's not sending anybody to take us. He's coming Himself. Shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we're going to be forever with the Lord. You know, there's a lot of talk these days, well, not so much, about space travel. They think that in another, maybe 7 to 10 years, you'll be able to take a trip into space. It'll cost, they say, $100,000 to $200,000. Don't waste your money, beloved. Don't worry about space. Read with me in Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14. Space flight. Forget it. I like the way I'm going to read it in the original language. I'm not a Greek student, but I happen to check on this and check on some other versions. Seeing then, Hebrews 4 and 14, that we have a great high priest that is passed, many of your Bibles say, into heavens. The better translation, he's passed through. He's gone beyond space. And he's going to take me. And I won't have to worry about any collisions or power failure. I mean, this to me is silly. How does it make you feel? We're going through space, not going into space. Going right through. And then we're going to spend eternity with the Lord. And what is that going to be like? Revelation 21. Eternity with the Lord. Verse 2. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now notice verse 4. This is where the environment we're going to be in. God shall wipe away all tears. There'll be no crying up there. No more death. Oh my. Isn't that something? No more death. No sorrow. No crying. No pain. Sister Lillian is having pain in her right knee. There'll be no pain where I'm going. Or maybe I shouldn't be selfish. There'll be no pain where we are going. That's a little bad. Because the former things will pass away. The Lord is coming. And those that do not believe are in the period of dangerous quiet. As I often say, aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you're going to heaven? You wouldn't want to be down here all the time. Eight o'clock. Time for me to stop. I wonder, beloved, if we can sing 185. It's been a couple of years since we've sung it. 185. He'll come and tarry not. That word tarry, when you get home, look up to, in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2. Or is it 2 and 3? Though it tarry, it will not tarry. And you say, what kind of English is that? Though it tarry, it will not tarry. The best translation I know is, though it be long, it will not be late. A little while since the Lord said that he would come, but he's coming on time. You remember when Samuel told Saul, go to such and such a place, and I will be there and offer to the Lord. Saul went there. This is 1 Samuel 15. Saul went there, and Samuel wasn't there. Saul decided, I'd better make the offerings to the Lord. And so he offered peace offerings, burnt offerings, which was not his Right. He was not a priest. And as soon as he made the offering, Samuel appeared. He was long, but he was not late. And when our Lord comes, he's not going to be late. Well, it may seem like a long time, but he's not going to be late. He's coming again. Brother George, do we know this, do you think?
Yes, sir.
All right. Shall we just sing this to the glory of God? He's come with of wars, kingdom against kingdom, nation against nation, youngsters shooting each other, and all kinds of accidents. He's coming. And we're going to be in heaven. No more tears, no more crying, no more sickness. Something to look forward to. Shall we pray? Again, Heavenly Father, we bow in thy blessed presence. And again, we thank thee for salvation. We thank thee for the work of our Lord Jesus Christ and for the assurance that he's coming again to take us to be with himself. Oh, we pray for those that do not know that he's coming again, those that do not believe that he's coming again, among our relatives, our friends, and our neighbors, oh, that they would bow to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. Now take us home, we pray thee, in peace and safety. And if the Lord be not come, bring us safe to morning light, we pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.